This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. On Fridays, we check in with CPR's Capitol reporter Megan Verlee. And earlier this week, lawmakers in the Colorado House gave final approval to a package of Democratic gun bills, sending them to the Senate, which is expected to take up the legislation soon. Senate Democrats are also working on some gun control bills of their own, but those haven't been introduced just yet. So in this lull between gun debates, we'll talk to Megan about some of the other issues percolating. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Ryan.
And let's start actually at the U.S. Capitol. The federal government, of course, is a week away from sequestration, across-the-board spending cuts that we've been hearing a lot about. Are state lawmakers talking about how those could affect Colorado?
You know, I've been chatting periodically with lawmakers on the Budget Committee about this issue since back in October, and the answers haven't really changed. At the end of the day, Colorado officials are just waiting to see what Congress does, and then they'll react. That's because there could be another last-minute delay of the spending cuts, as there was back in January, and even if they do go into effect, it will take some time to see how each federal department implements them. However, the one thing that is clear at this point is that Colorado will feel those cuts more than many other states. I talked about this with the legislature's top economist, Natalie Mullis.
Half of the sequester, it will come in defense cuts, and we do have a lot of defense installations and defense contractors in the state of Colorado, and half will come in non-discretionary, non-defense programs, and there are a lot of federal institutions and other federal programs in Colorado.
She says that these cuts are going to hurt in a couple of ways. Federal workers who lose pay or federal contractors who lose contracts will have less money to spend here. Cuts to some federal grants will mean either fewer services in those areas or the state will have to cut money from other programs to make up for those lost federal dollars. And then Melissa says there's just the uncertainty factor. She says that for the past year, businesses have been delaying their expansions and investments, waiting to see what the federal government will do. So the worst may be ahead for the state economy if Congress doesn't act, but it's important to realize that just the threat of these cuts has already slowed economic growth for at least a year now.
And we should say the Associated Press reporting this week that more than 8,000 civilians who work on Colorado military installations could face furloughs. So we're talking about the Air Force Academy, Peterson Air Force Base. If sequestration does move forward, when will we have a clearer sense of the impact in the state?
We'll get our first good sense in late March. That's when Mullis's economists put out their next economic and revenue forecast for the state. And if Congress doesn't act, they'll have to take into account what that means for economic growth and tax revenues. And using that, lawmakers will know how much money to expect for the next budget, which is due in April. And that's when we'll see how the Budget Committee tries to address any cuts in federal programs and services that pass through their hands.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and it's Friday, which means we're checking in with Megan Verlee, who covers the state legislature for us. Back in Denver, there was a development this week with a bill we've been following, one that would make it easier for professional firefighters to join unions. In my last interview, Megan, with the governor, he said he was conflicted when it came to this bill, but it does seem like he's reached a decision.
Yes, the governor sent a letter Tuesday to legislative leaders saying he can't support the bill in its current form, which is a nice way of saying, watch out, I'm getting my veto pen ready. He did urge firefighters and local governments to find some other ways to give firefighters more say in their working conditions. That's the argument proponents give for why they should have an easier time unionizing. But the governor didn't want to infringe on local control, which opponents say the current bill does.
Where does the bill go from here?
It recently arrived in the House after passing the Senate. The House Speaker has said that he wants both sides to work together and find a compromise. But he sent the bill not to the Business, Labor, Economic, and Workforce Development Committee, which, if you think about those words, might sound like the logical place, but to the State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, which is where bills often go to die.
So the saga continues with that firefighter union bill. I say that because a previous iteration was vetoed by the previous governor. There was a piece of legislation getting a hearing this week I wanted to ask you about as well. It would encourage ranchers to reintroduce black-footed ferrets onto their properties.
Yes, and here's something I only actually learned recently. It takes legislative permission to reintroduce an endangered or threatened species in Colorado. Now, the legislature actually granted that permission for black-footed ferrets more than a decade ago, but right now they've only been introduced on public land in far northwest Colorado. This bill is intended to encourage private landowners in more of the state to participate in reintroduction by implementing a relatively new Fish and Wildlife Service program that gives landowners more leeway in how they manage property with an endangered species on it.
Which is important because landowners are sometimes afraid that all the protections that come with an endangered species could limit development on their property or just activities on that land, right?
Exactly, and there can be punishments if people accidentally kill an endangered species. So with the new policy, which is called Safe Harbor, that's authorized in this bill, a landowner who allows biologists to introduce black-footed ferrets on their property wouldn't be held liable if, say, they drove a tractor over one of them or their dog comes back with one in its mouth. And I talked about reintroducing ferrets with bill sponsor Larry Crowder. He's a Republican senator who represents a big part of rural southeastern Colorado. And he says it could be a real win-win solution for farmers and ranchers like himself who struggle to control the prairie dogs and other rodents that are the ferrets' main food.
I myself have what they call pocket gopher problem, and I'm hoping to get some of this on my own land to take care of that. A lot of your areas that are alfalfa and grass areas, they create a situation where we almost cannot harvest our crops.
Crowder says he has heard some concerns from others in the agricultural sector who are always nervous about species reintroduction, but this is a bipartisan bill and he has high hopes for it.
I understand a bill is in the works inspired partly by Losing Ground. This is a series that CPR participated in. iNews in Denver crunched years of census data and found that blacks and Latinos in Colorado have lost ground compared to whites in the areas of income, education, and home ownership. It turns out a couple of House Democrats say the series has inspired them to take action. What do they want to do?
Specifically, they want to look at how many state contracts are currently going to minority-owned businesses and whether, if they don't feel that's enough, they might be able to address that with future legislation. Democratic Representative Angela Williams of Denver says that as a businesswoman, she's heard concerns about contract disparities for years.
You know, I've been around Denver for 20-something years, and I've heard nothing but minorities are not getting their piece of the pie. You know, it's a very small slice when you look around. All of this great economic development that's occurring around Colorado.
Williams is still in the very early stages of writing the bill, but it sounds like it could cost the state money if they contract out this study. So I'm guessing you'll hear opposition from folks who feel there's already sufficient tracking of state contracts and who are going to worry about spending more on this topic.
Well, what's on the agenda for next week at the state legislature?
I think the big one at this point is that the House will hold a hearing on the civil unions bill on Thursday. This will actually be the last chance for public testimony before the bill's strongly assumed passage. So I think we'll hear from a lot of passionate people at that hearing.
Megan, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Megan Verlee covers the state capitol for Colorado Public Radio and checks in with us Fridays. Stay up to date with what's going on under the Golden Dome through our new blog, Check and Balance. Look for it under the State Government News link on the lower left side of our homepage, cpr.org.